Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to the insights that, well, that truly matters. Today, we're diving into something huge, a question that's probably on a lot of minds. Is this whole AI explosion just, you know, another tech bubble like we've seen before? Or is something genuinely different happening this time, something really profound?
Yeah, are we on the cusp of a real transformation?
Exactly. Our focus today is what's being called the AI Renaissance 2.0, redefining knowledge systems and human-machine collaboration.
That's right. And our whole discussion, it's really built around this seminal seminar given by Seung-Gi Yen at Post-Tech AI Seminar. And Seung-Gi, well, he's got this incredible background, academia, startups, big tech giants. He's really seen it all.
Impressive.
Definitely. He's co-founder and CTO at Arudio Bio now, chief business development officer at WestStory.ai, plus advisory roles at DGIST and SoGang University. And, you know, people might remember him from Amazon, senior applied scientist there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his work boosted mobile shopping app sales by something like $200 million.
Yeah.
Massive impact.
Wow.
And his academic roots are deep, too. Stanford PhD in electrical engineering, advised by the Stephen P. Boyd. So, real depth there.
Okay, so we've got some serious expertise guiding us. Our mission, then, is to really unpack his insights from that seminar. We want to explore AI's impact, how fast it's moving, and get into that tricky dual nature, the good and the, well, the potentially challenging parts.
The blessings and the curses, as he puts it.
Right. And maybe most importantly, how do we navigate this? How can humanity sort of steer this thing? And how is this AI renaissance already changing our relationship with tech?
Okay, let's unpack this. I mean, the pace of AI right now feels almost dizzying, doesn't it?
It really does.
So to get a handle on where we're going, maybe we need to look back a bit, anchor ourselves, you know, all the way back to Alan Turing in 1950, asking that fundamental question, can machines think or act like they do?
The Turing test, yeah.
And then just a few years later, 1956, John McCarthy actually coins the term artificial intelligence. Mm. But it wasn't exactly a smooth ride from there, was it? We had those AI winters. Oh, definitely. Periods where, you know, the hype died down, funding dried up, it felt stalled for a long time. But then things started to shift. We hit what folks call the deep learning revolution, say, roughly 2012 to 2015.
Okay, deep learning. What made that such a revolution?
Well, it was a fundamental change. Think about AlexNet winning the ImageNet competition. That wasn't just winning a contest. It was the moment deep learning really arrived on the main stage, showed machines could see, understand images in a way that started changing everything. Computer vision, you know.
Right. Self-driving cars, medical imaging.
Exactly. The big insight was moving away from trying to hand code rules for AI towards letting machines learn patterns directly from huge amounts of data. It completely changed how we build AI.
Okay, so AI starts seeing, then what? I remember AlphaGo causing a huge stir in 2016. How did that push things forward?
AlphaGo. Yeah, that was monumental. Defeating a human Go world champion. It showed AI wasn't just about recognizing patterns. It could tackle incredibly complex strategic problems.
Go is insanely complex, right?
More possible moves than atoms in the universe, they say. And AlphaGo learned using reinforcement learning, basically, trial and error, but on a massive scale. It found strategies humans hadn't even conceived of.
So it proved AI could handle deep strategic thinking beyond just games.
Absolutely. It hinted at potential in, well, scientific discovery, complex logistics, anywhere you need that kind of strategic insight.
Fascinating. Okay, so vision, strategy. Where did AI leap next? I recall the seminar emphasizing something called the transformer architecture.
Oh, the transformer. Yeah, that really did change everything, especially for language, around 2017, 2018.
How so? What did it do differently?
Think of it like this. Older models struggled with long-range dependencies in text. Understanding how a word at the beginning of a paragraph related to one at the end, the transformer, with its attention mechanism, could weigh the importance of different words across the entire input, no matter how far apart. It gave language models a much better grasp of context.
Okay, so better context understanding.
Massively better. And that led directly to models like BERT and later GPT. Revolutionized machine translation, chatbots, basically anything involving natural language processing, NLP.
The foundation for the LLMs we see everywhere now.
Pretty much, yeah. That was the key architectural leap.
You know, one thing that really stood out in the seminar was AI moving into really critical areas, like healthcare. AlphaFold in 2020, why was that such a big deal?
AlphaFold solving the protein folding problem. I mean, that was a 50-year-old grand challenge in biology. It was huge.
Why is protein folding so important?
Proteins are fundamental to life. Their 3D shape determines their function. Figuring out that shape from the amino acid sequence was incredibly hard. Knowing the shape is critical for designing drugs, understanding diseases. AlphaFold's breakthrough, and then AlphaFold 3 in 2024, basically unlocked that.
Right.
It means we can speed up drug discovery, personalize medicine much more effectively.
So AI directly impacting human health in a major way.
A prime example, yes.
Yeah.
Truly transformative potential there.
And just bringing us up to date, 2024 itself has just felt relentless, nonstop breakthroughs, it seems.
Absolutely relentless is the word. Just an explosion of advanced models and specialized applications.
Like what? What are the big names making waves right now?
Well, you've got improvements in conversational AI, creative AI. Things like GPT-4.0, the Claude 3 series, Llama 3. They're changing content creation, customer service. Then you have Sora for video generation, Gemini pushing what's possible with multimodal AI integrating text, images, audio.
Am I on the models?
Specialized stuff, too. Robotics like Figure 02, Optimus. They're making big strides in automation, even helping with scientific understanding through physical interaction. My point isn't just the number. It's the increasing sophistication across so many different areas.
It is a lot to absorb, and it's happened so, so fast. So looking just ahead to 2025, maybe, the seminar pointed to some major AI breakthroughs on the horizon. What should we be watching for?
Yeah, for 2025, the expectation is we'll see next-gen foundation models. GPT-5, maybe Claude 4. And the really interesting thing is they might start showing what's called emergent reasoning, solving problems in ways they weren't explicitly programmed to. That's a big step.
Emergent reasoning. And what else?
We'll likely see open source models catching up, reaching parity with the big commercial ones. That could really democratize access to cutting edge AI.
That would be significant. What about the hardware? That's always crucial, isn't it?
Always. Except big hardware innovations. NVIDIA's Blackwell successor is anticipated to give another, 3-4x performance boost. And watch AMD. Their MI350 accelerators look set to seriously challenge NVIDIA's dominance. That competition is really heating up and it fuels everything else.
Right. The hardware arms race. And on the application side for 2025, this idea of AI-human collaboration systems, what does that look like?
Think more natural partnerships. Seamless multimodal interfaces talking to AI, gesturing, drawing, typing, all mixed together like human conversation.
So easier interaction.
Easier and crucially more trustworthy. AI systems getting better at explaining why they made a recommendation. Explainable AI or XAI.
Ah, okay. Understanding the why.
Exactly. And imagine things like augmented reality interfaces. A surgeon getting real-time AI insights overlaid during an operation. Or a technician seeing repair instructions directly on the equipment, real-time assistance integrated into the workflow.
Okay, that paints a picture of incredible progress, but it brings us right back to that fundamental question, doesn't it? Is this sustainable? Is this just hype? So let's tackle that head on. Is AI hype? The seminar argued that, well, maybe it's more like a sunrise or early adoption, but happening incredibly fast.
Yeah, the speed is key. That stat about AI hitting 50% user penetration in the U.S. twice as fast as the internet or smartphones.
That's staggering, isn't it?
It really is. It's not just fast. It's kind of unprecedented adoption speed for a major technology.
And you mentioned the explosion of AI ecosystems. ChatGPT hitting 35 million users in 5 months. That's hard to ignore.
Very hard. And then look at the financials. NVIDIA's Q2 earnings in 2023. They didn't just beat expectations. They smashed them. $13.5 billion revenue.
Huge growth.
101% year-over-year growth. And maybe even more telling, a 71.2% gross margin. That doesn't really look like a bubble about to pop. That looks like a core expanding technology finding massive demand.
And the investment is following, right? The AI investment surge in 2023.
Absolutely. AI stocks significantly outpaced the broader market. Something like a 60% performance jump.
Wow.
And it's not just stocks. Over 8,000 new AI applications developed in just the last 3 years across all sorts of sectors, healthcare, finance, manufacturing.
So real-world use cases are driving this, not just speculation.
That seems to be the case. Enterprises are adopting these tools. And from an economic view, the impact on productivity is potentially huge. The seminar compared it to the boost from PCs and the internet, around 35% productivity gains back then. But AI might drive even greater gains because it can automate cognitive tasks, too.
Cognitive tasks, right. Not just physical ones.
Exactly. And we're already seeing hints of this. That trend of fewer employees needed per $1 million of revenue in S&P 500 companies, that suggests efficiency gains are happening.
That's a powerful statistic. But, okay, the flip side of fewer employees is obviously job displacement. That's a huge concern for people. How does the seminar frame that?
It absolutely frames it as a major concern, one of the potential curses of AI that needs careful management. It's not necessarily about total replacement everywhere, but a profound shift in the kind of work that's valued.
So needing new skills, adaptation.
Definitely. Which leads straight into why we need thoughtful governance, retraining programs, ways to manage that transition, and, potential widening of inequality. We'll get more into that.
Okay. But sticking with the investment side for a moment, the scale is just enormous.
Massive. Cumulative funding in private AI companies hit $28.2 billion since 2020. OpenAI alone raising $10 billion.
And big valuations for others too, even before products launched.
Right. Anthropic, Adept, Inflection, Imbue. Huge valuations,
yeah,
indicating very strong investor belief in their future potential, even early on.
So if we think about that classic technology hype cycle model, the trigger, peak expectations, trough of disillusionment, where is AI on that curve? Is it different this time?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
And the seminar argues, I think quite convincingly, that yes, it is different this time.
How so? Compared to, say, the dot-com bubble or fiber optics?
Well, think about the fiber optic bubble in the 90s. Massive overinvestment in infrastructure, but not much immediate revenue tied to it. Or self-driving cars still facing significant delays, maybe 15 years or more behind initial projections for full autonomy. AI, in contrast, has shown really significant tangible utility across many different domains within just, say, the last 5 years.
So it's delivering value now.
Exactly. Enterprises are adopting it because it works, because
Yeah.
it provides value today. It's not just future speculation. So while some aspects might feel like hype, that steady, gradual value creation across industries suggests something more fundamental, more enduring.
Utility-driven, not just hype-driven.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, a fundamental shift then. So what does that mean for the core technology itself? What's evolving inside AI? Which brings us nicely to multimodal AI, MMAI. Okay, break that down for us. What exactly is multimodal AI?
Right, MMAI. Simply put, it's about AI systems that can process and, crucially, integrate information from multiple different types or modalities at the same time.
Modalities
Like text, images, audio, video,
Yeah.
maybe even sensor data down the line. The key is integration combined with these inputs to get a more complete, unified understanding or response.
Kind of like giving AI more senses, like humans use vision, hearing, touch together.
That's a great analogy. It's trying to mimic that human ability to perceive the world through multiple channels simultaneously and make sense of it all together.
And this isn't totally new, right? It's been evolving.
No, not brand new, but it's really matured. There were early attempts back in the 90s, 2000s. Then things picked up in the 2010s with powerful neural nets like CNNs for images, RNNs for
The
texts.
CNNs, RNNs, okay.
But now, in the 2020s, we have these transformer-based architectures that can handle complex, multi-source data much more effectively. They're better at that integration piece, leading to more holistic understanding.
So if you are building one of these, what are the key pieces, the core components?
Well, first, you need sophisticated ways to pre-process each type of data, clean up images, transcribe audio, parse text. Then you need the right AI architecture. Sometimes it's one big unified model, like a vision transformer, VIT, that handles everything. Other times it's a hybrid approach, maybe combining a powerful image model like a CNN with a large language model, an LLM.
Combining specialists, kind of.
Exactly. And then critically, you need integration layers. Fusion methods that know how to combine the insights or representations from these different modalities into one coherent picture.
Sounds incredibly complex. What are the big hurdles, the technical challenges?
Oh, there are plenty.
Yeah.
Getting the data aligned accurately is tough. Imagine trying to sync video, audio, and maybe text captions perfectly.
Yeah, I can see that.
Then there's the sheer computational cost. Training these models takes massive resources, and managing data quality when you're pulling from such diverse sources, that's a constant battle.
But progress is being made. Advancements.
Definitely. Things like multimodal embeddings are huge. That's where the AI learns to represent different types of data, an image and a piece of text describing it, for example, in a shared mathematical space, so they can be directly compared.
Okay, a shared language for different data types.
Sort of, yeah. And techniques like self-supervised learning help models learn useful representations across modalities without needing perfectly labeled data for everything, which is a big help.
Now, you mentioned LLMs earlier. The seminar had this really profound idea about the implications of the success of LLMs going beyond just language, connecting the non-linguistic world via language. Can you unpack that a bit?
Yeah, this is a really deep point. Think about it. The real world is messy, unstructured, an open system full of sights, sounds, experiences. Human language, on the other hand, is a more structured, closed system that we've spent millennia optimizing to represent thoughts, concepts, relationships.
Right. Language organizes our world.
Exactly. LLMs seem to be tapping into that power. They're using our highly optimized system of language as a framework, a kind of universal translator, to make sense of all that messy, non-linguistic stuff from the real world.
Wow. So LLMs aren't just about text. They're about using the structure of language to understand everything.
That's the emerging idea, yeah. And it's why researchers from computer vision, robotics, other fields are increasingly focusing on LLMs. They see them as this powerful, unifying engine.
That's a fantastic way to think about it. And that leads directly to these AI agents powered by multimodal LLMs. What are these agents? How are they different?
These agents are the next logical step. They take those MAI capabilities, understanding text, images, audio, and integrate them into a system that can perceive its environment, reason about it, and then act within it.
So perception, reasoning, action.
Right. They have components, like virtual senses, to perceive the world through multiple modalities. They use the LLM core for reasoning across that combined information. And then they can generate responses, make decisions, or even control physical actions in robotics.
So much more autonomous and capable than just a chatbot.
Much more. They can understand complex situations, interact more naturally, and adapt their behavior based on what's happening.
The emerging applications sound pretty futuristic. What are some concrete examples?
Well, imagine AI agents in scientific research, analyzing complex experimental data from multiple sources, running simulations, even suggesting new hypotheses.
Okay, like a research assistant?
A very capable one, yeah. Or in creative fields, an AI collaborator helping design things by understanding visual sketches, musical inputs, and text descriptions altogether.
Generating music from a painting, maybe?
Potentially, yeah. Or environmental monitoring, processing satellite images, sensor data, weather reports, to give a really detailed climate analysis.
Healthcare, too, I imagine.
Definitely. Enhanced diagnostics, combining medical images like X-rays or MRIs with the patient's text-based history, and maybe even audio recordings of symptoms to get a more accurate picture.
And customer service, autonomous vehicles.
Big impact there too. Virtual assistants that understand your tone of voice and what you're showing them on screen. And for autonomous vehicles, integrating vision, radar, LiDAR, audio. That's crucial for navigating complex environments safely.
It paints a picture of AI becoming deeply embedded. Looking further out, what's the ultimate future vision here?
The vision is ubiquitous AI agents, seamlessly integrated into our devices, our homes, our workplaces, often working quietly in the background, augmenting what we do. This enables incredibly personalized experiences. Think education tailored not just to your answers, but maybe your expressions of confusion, entertainment that adapts in real time, healthcare that's truly preventative and personalized based on continuous monitoring.
A responsive digital layer over our lives.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, we've explored all this incredible innovation, this potential, but now we have to confront that paradox you mentioned earlier. Because AI, like any really powerful tool, it has this inherent duality, doesn't it? There are these immense potential upsides, these blessings, but also significant downsides, the curses.
Absolutely. And the seminar laid these out very clearly. On the blessing side, the potential is just staggering. Think about healthcare and quality of life. We're talking faster, more accurate diagnosis. Truly personalized medicine based on your specific genetics or condition. Speeding up drug discovery dramatically. And assistive tech that genuinely transforms lives for people with disabilities.
Okay, healthcare is a big one. What else?
Economic growth and efficiency. AI-driven automation. Boosting productivity. Reducing costs. Better decision-making in business, finance, logistics. Opening up new markets.
And environmental impact.
Huge potential there, too. Environmental solutions. Better climate change modeling and prediction, optimizing energy grids to reduce waste and integrate renewables, finding new solutions for sustainability, maybe new materials or processes.
Safety, security.
Yes, safety and security. Better prediction of natural disasters, coordinating relief efforts more effectively, and significantly enhanced cybersecurity to protect against increasingly sophisticated threats.
Those all sound incredibly positive. But some people might say, okay, that's the potential, but what about the real-world downsides? Are we glossing over the risks? How did the seminar tackle the curses?
No, it definitely didn't gloss over them. The curses were presented just as starkly. A major one, as we touched on, is job displacement.
The fear that AI takes everyone's jobs?
Right. Millions of jobs could be threatened or significantly changed. And if that's not managed well, it could dramatically widen the wealth gap. This is a very real near-term concern.
What else falls under curses?
Bias and inequality, misinformation and manipulation. This is crucial. AI systems learn from data, and if that data reflects existing human biases, conscious or unconscious, the AI can perpetuate or even amplify them.
So biased AI making unfair decisions.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of access. If only wealthy nations or large corporations can afford the most advanced AI, that widens the global inequality gap. Plus, the potential for AI-generated misinformation or manipulation campaigns,
yeah,
that's a huge societal risk.
And the ethical side.
Big ethical dilemmas. Questions around privacy, how much data are these systems collecting, human rights implications, and accountability. Who is responsible if an autonomous weapon makes a mistake or if an AI causes harm? These are tough questions with no easy answers.
Finally, the environmental cost you mentioned earlier.
Right, the environmental cost.
Yeah.
Training these massive AI models consumes enormous amounts of energy, contributing to carbon emissions. And the rapid hardware cycles mean electronic waste is becoming a bigger problem, too. It has a real physical footprint.
So it's clear these aren't just abstract problems. These contradictions are real, and they demand action, not just talk.
Absolutely. The seminar really stressed that these contradictions make thoughtful governance approaches and participatory social agreements essential. We can't just let this technology develop unchecked. We need active, collective shaping.
And Cindy Yin's insights on this came from some practical experience, right? This KFAS Salzburg Global Leadership Initiative.
That's right. He mentioned this gathering in December 2024. 41 global leaders meeting in Salzburg, Austria, discussing uncertain futures and connections reimagined.
A diverse group, you said.
Very diverse. His specific working group on technology, growth, and inequality, the case of AI, including people from international development, gender equality consulting, law professors, bringing all these different perspectives together.
So what concrete ideas came out of that for, say, AI capacity building among the scientists and engineers actually building this stuff?
A key focus was promoting ethics and responsible AI education right from the start through interdisciplinary collaboration. It can't just be a technical discussion. It also means fostering continuous learning about the risks, about bias, about societal impacts, developing practical tools for bias detection and mitigation, and doing regular fairness audits.
Fairness audits.
And pushing for transparency and explainability XAI, using things like model cards.
Model cards.
Yeah.
Like nutritional labels for AI.
Exactly like that. Describing what the model does, how it was trained, its limitations, potential biases, making it less of a black box.
Got it. And the environmental side.
Raising awareness of the environmental impact, promoting research into more energy-efficient AI, and advocating for sustainable development practices throughout the AI lifecycle.
Okay, so that's for the tech community. But what about lawmakers and policymakers? You mentioned they often struggle to keep pace.
That's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
Technology evolves so fast, regulation often lags behind, becoming reactive or just insufficient.
So what's the solution for building their capacity?
The seminar proposed developing comprehensive regulatory frameworks proactively, addressing transparency, bias, specifically calling out gender bias, racial bias, AI hallucinations, and privacy concerns head on. It also means fostering broad public debates about the ethical uses and societal implications. We need everyone involved. And crucially, introducing policies aimed specifically at curbing AI-generated misinformation.
Proactive, informed governance. Makes sense. Beyond regulation, what about these participatory social agreements? What does that involve?
This is about getting broad societal buy-in and setting norms. It includes things like open data frameworks that clarify data ownership, data sovereignty, rules around data transfer and storage. It also touches on corporate social responsibility. What obligations do tech companies have, including environmental protection in their AI work?
And the impact on people.
Jobs? Yes. Directly addressing labor displacement, maybe proposing tax incentives for retraining or specific support programs, implementing algorithmic impact assessments before deploying potentially harmful systems.
Impact assessments.
Okay.
And what if harm does occur?
That's key. These agreements need to include clear remedies for AI harms and strong enforcement mechanisms. Accountability has to be built in. It's about creating a real social contract for the AI age.
This all seems to build towards this powerful idea you mentioned, reclaiming technology for humanity. What does that mean in practice?
It's really a shift in perspective. Instead of just building powerful tech, we consciously leverage it to strengthen human connection, not weaken it. It means seeing automation not just as a way to replace humans, but to enhance our capabilities, augment our skills.
Augmentation over replacement.
Right. And channeling AI's power towards solving fundamental human needs, better healthcare, better education, tackling climate change, using tech scale for human-centric goals.
Moving from AI for AI's sake to AI for humanity's sake.
Exactly.
And this requires a pretty fundamental paradigm shift in technological implementation, doesn't it?
It really does. It requires us to constantly acknowledge that duality, the blessings and the curses, and to actively, systematically work to tilt the balance towards human advancement, converting challenges into opportunities. It's about responsible innovation with purpose.
Okay, as we start to wrap up this fascinating deep dive, let's circle back to a final, really thought-provoking question that Sung-Gi Yoon posed in his seminar, this idea of, is AI's rapid rise a matter of serendipity or inevitability?
Yeah, that's a great one to ponder. He framed it with some really interesting what-ifs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if Geoffrey Hinton hadn't been so persistent with deep learning when it wasn't popular? Would we be here now?
Mm.
What if the symbolists, the logic-based AI researchers, had won out over the connectionists with their neural networks? A completely different path for AI.
Right.
What if that attention mechanism or the transformer architecture itself just hadn't worked quite so well? Would language models have taken off like this?
Good question.
What if OpenAI hadn't hit that sweet spot with ChatGPT in 2022, catching the world's attention? Would the pace be slower? And even on the hardware side, what if Jensen Huang at NVIDIA hadn't been so focused on chips for gamers, which just happened to be perfect for deep learning?
It really makes you think, doesn't it? Is this whole thing like, I don't know, Alexander Freiding stumbling upon penicillin, a stroke of luck, a series of fortunate events?
Serendipity, yeah.
Or is it more like an inevitable outcome? Given enough computing power, enough data, enough smart people working on it, was something like this bound to emerge eventually, regardless of the specific individuals or breakthroughs?
An inevitable unfolding of technological potential.
It definitely puts the whole story in a different light. So today, we've really covered a lot of ground. We've journeyed through AI's explosive history, looked at its undeniable market impact, got our heads around multimodal AI agents, and importantly, we confronted that dual nature, the incredible blessings alongside the very real curses. It's definitely not a simple picture.
No, it's complex. But the core message from the seminar seems clear. This AI Renaissance 2.0, it's more than just technology. It's fundamentally redefining how we think about knowledge, how we collaborate with machines. And that calls for deliberate action-building capacity, thoughtful governance, and really committing to using this power to benefit humanity. Reclaiming technology, as you said.
So the final thought we want to leave you, the listener, with is this. As AI keeps evolving at this incredible speed, what role will you play? How can you help ensure that this AI renaissance truly does enrich humanity rather than diminish it?